Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
How's the live stream going, Ryan? I was sitting over there just a little bit ago, and I felt like I needed to ask Ryan to make sure. I like to know that I'm on track, because I can get off track. How many knows that it's possible to get off track? Jason talked earlier about my birthday's coming up, and he said you can do this or do that. I'm going to tell you the best birthday present that you could give me, the absolute best birthday present that I could ever get in my entire life. We had an offer, if I'm not mistaken. They will put fiber optic, they will install, bring fiber optic to the church for $5,000. And when they first said that, it seemed like so much money, and it is a lot of money. But I believe one of the most important things that we do as a church is broadcast our services. And with fiber optic, all of our streaming problems would be gone. We'd be able to live stream. People from around the world could watch us via the internet. It would help us upload to YouTube and the television programs. I don't know how many of you are familiar with a prophetic word. Is it Takeda Williams? Is that her name? She gave us a word of prophecy years ago. It's right here if you want a copy of it. And one of the things that's so amazing about this prophetic word is much of it has already happened. And part of the prophecy was that we were going to be a revival center. And part of the prophecy was that the revival is going to be a healing revival. And we've had several words about that over the years. One of the prophetic words is that wheelchairs, walkers, crutches, and canes are going to line the walls of the sanctuary from all of the people that God heals. And we just recently, I mean within the last month, heard of another congregation who got an almost identical prophecy, and it was years and years ago. And they just kept standing on it, just kept praying it, just kept believing it. And in the last 8 or 9 months, the sanctuary of that church, the walls are covered. They're hanging them up on the walls because they don't even have enough room on the floor anymore. There's eyeglasses and dentures and wheelchairs and walkers and crutches and canes that line the walls of that sanctuary from all the people that God has healed in the last 9 months, 8 or 9 months. And so we're just standing on what God says. It's going to be a healing center. And we've seen God do amazing things already, but we've just seen the tip of the iceberg. But I just believe this morning that we can raise $5,000 and get fiber optic in this house and take care of all of our streaming problems. That's what I believe. And you can just write it down and say, happy birthday, Pastor. I'll cut you totally all the slack. You won't have to worry about anything else for my birthday. So if you want to give to that, just mark that on your check. On the internet, there's so many ways to give that I am not capable of giving. I don't know how to run a Cash App. I don't know any of that stuff. We still write checks. Man, my family, that my younger people in my family, they just really don't know what to think about me. They've caught me being wrong a couple of times. That really damaged my reputation. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to preach the Bible. How's that? I don't think that ever goes out of style. It may not be culturally correct, politically correct, or socially acceptable, but it is kingdom of God acceptable. There's an old saying, and I'm not 100% sure what the origin of it is, but the saying goes, you get out of something whatever you put in something. Anybody ever heard that? You get out of something whatever you put in it. In other words, it requires some effort to see some change. It doesn't matter if you're exercising or working or just anything that you put into that, it's whether you realize it or not, and whether that statement or that thought originated from the scripture, I have no idea. But it is a biblical principle. It is a biblical principle. How many of you remember watching The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson? When I watched that, the suffering of Jesus in that movie. And if you're familiar with the story, Jim Caviezel, I mean, it was horrendous what he went through in making that. And he suffered heart attacks. He had all kinds of craziness that come against him when they were making that movie. And I watched the scene or scenes where Jesus was punished and then crucified and he died. As I get older, I've told you all this recently, I don't even know if I can preach a funeral anymore. And I'm so grateful nobody's been dying because I haven't been tested in this in a couple of years. But as I get older, I'm just, you know, and I preach my own grandpa's funeral. I preach my own dad's funeral. I preach my best friend's funeral. But I don't know if I can preach another funeral. I'm just different now than I was even 2 years ago. Softer. Yeah, you know, and I know men don't like to think of themselves as soft. I think it's all right to be sensitive emotionally. Because I grew up and spent most of my adult life as a very hard person. I mean, I just didn't let things affect me. If somebody was suffering, no sweat off my brow. And that's no way to be. But as I watched that movie, I thought, I can't watch that again. I can't go through that again. And as I was receiving communion this morning, Paul said, Jesus said, and we know Jesus said it in the Gospels as well, when you do this, remember me. We don't like to remember him in that way. It is very unpleasant, and it is intended to be. I've avoided it pretty much since that movie. But we miss one of the greatest motivators on planet Earth when we don't take the time to remember the suffering and to focus on it. We probably all should watch the movie again. And you say, why would we do that? Because Paul also said in Romans 12 that we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. And the reason that we are to do that is because it is our reasonable service. One translation says, when you consider all that he went through for us, when you consider that he gave his back to the tormentors, and they stripped his flesh with 39 lashes. You know, anybody that understands, and there's people that have studied this, and I've literally watched documentaries on the crucifixion, and to not even be nailed on a cross. I watched this one guy, they tied him to a cross. And it's you can't take an hour of it. It is the most physically, and this guy was an athlete. It's the most physically exhaustive thing that you can imagine. Because you can't breathe unless you lock your legs in an upright position, a standing position, and you get so weary because you're standing and Jesus was just hanging on a nail. And you get so weary because there's not much support for your feet to support your weight, and so you just have to relax, and when you relax, you can't breathe. And so you're battling to stand up so you can breathe and then to relax because you just have no physical strength to stand anymore. And Jesus died quickly on the cross. I've told you this before. Sometimes it would take 2 weeks for people to die, and the Romans didn't care. You just don't know how cruel those people were. I mean, when you're entertained by watching lions eat people, I mean, we're bad enough. I mean, we're entertained by MMA, and that is pretty violent. At least they're not eating each other. Yet. But if we're going to present ourselves as living sacrifices, we're going to have to remember what he did for us. Because if we don't remember what he did for us, then it's going to be easy just to keep living like we've always lived, keep doing what we've always done. But if it's always in the forefront of our mind, you know, Smith Wigglesworth used to wake up every morning, put on his best suit, and receive communion. That was the way he started every day. And so every day Smith bowed himself to the Lordship of Jesus and remembered his suffering and remembered his shame and remembered everything that Jesus went through so he could spend his day living the sacrifice life. It is our reasonable service. In Mark chapter 4, you will get out of it what you put in it. Mark chapter 4, verse 21 says, also he said to them, and you got to understand, Jesus is talking about the word right here. He is talking about the word. This entire passage, he is talking about the power of the word. He's talking about the preaching of the word. He's talking about receiving the word of God to change our lives. And he said, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear what he's saying. And he's telling us the word of God needs to be visible to everybody that looks at our lives. Then he said, take heed what you hear. He's talking about the word. Take heed to hearing what the Lord is saying. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. With the same intensity that you receive the word, God said, with that measure, I will measure it to you. You will get out of it what you put in it. And you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is so contrary to popular theology in our culture and in our world. We say, well, that just doesn't sound like God. Well, it may not sound like him, but it is him. He's saying, if you want the life transformational power of this word in your life, then it's going to require your effort. It is going to require your zeal and your passion to be put into it. You're going to get out of it whatever you put into it. That's what he's telling us. You know, we live in a culture where people are so enamored with the grace of God that salvation is a gift. And I receive this gift and I ain't doing nothing till I get to heaven. I'm just saved and I'm happy with that. And we have people, they've told me this, you may have never heard it. I just want to barely sneak in. I just want the smallest little cabin on the farthest reaches of heaven. I just want to scrape in by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I just want to barely get in. That's all I want to do is just make it. You're going to get out of it what you put in it. The thought may seem harsh. It may seem like it's not God at all to take away from the one that doesn't have. Unless we understand the one who does not have has put no effort into doing what Jesus said. In Matthew 25, we've been talking about the kingdom. For the kingdom of heaven, verse 14, is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his own ability. Isn't that interesting that he only gave what was their ability? You know, God doesn't expect out of me what he expects out of you because we're not gifted the same. You all are more gifted than I am, and I'm comfortable with that. And it says, then immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with him, and he made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought another 5, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5. Look, I've gained 5 more. Besides them, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2. Look, I've gained 2 more. Besides them, his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Isn't it interesting? They both are rewarded. Even though the one gained 5 and the one only gained 2. Because God knows what you're capable of. He holds us accountable to what we're capable of, not what everybody else is accountable to. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathered where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid in your your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours. But the Lord said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. These are the words of Jesus. You know, these are some of those words I keep telling you to read. Because, you know, I know people think, you know, you're kind of, you preach kind of strong sometimes. And I told you, I really don't. Jesus is a strong preacher. Paul is a strong preacher. I'm a lightweight. The words of Jesus are way stronger than the words I generally use. You wicked. How many of you have heard me call you wicked and lazy servants? I don't think that's ever came out of my mouth. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, here we see the principle, more will be given. And he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, when we don't do anything with what God gives us, he is not pleased with that. He said, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I didn't write that. I didn't say that. Jesus did. We desperately need to understand this is a principle of the kingdom of God. We're going to get out of it what we put in it. And to be honest about God, his generosity will outperform our effort every time. But we must be willing to take what he gives us and do something with it. The kingdom of God is not static. It doesn't just lay around. It is active, and we are to engage in it. We've been studying the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and the joy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're to seek the kingdom of God in everything. Where does the kingdom apply? Everywhere there's unrighteous. Everywhere there's a lack of peace. And everywhere there's a lack of the joy of the Holy Spirit. James 1 says this, therefore lay aside, in verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James begins by telling us, his readers, to lay aside all moral filth and the superabundance of depravity and receive with humility the implanted word of God, which can sozo your soul. When we are willing to receive the word, when we are willing to put into the word, put effort into the word, seek the Lord over the word, pray over the word, ask God to transform us by his word, that effort will produce wholeness. That's what that word sozo means. Every bit whole in your soul. Who needs some wholeness in here? I mean, who, it just being honest, who would say there are areas in my life where I just am not whole? I mean, we live in a culture that they want to be comfortable with their anxiety. They want to be comfortable with their depression. And they expect you to put up with it too. They want to be comfortable with their anger. And they want you to tolerate it too. They want people to be comfortable with unforgiveness. And you have to be comfortable with it too. I mean, that's where we're at as a society. I mean, if you can't see that, I mean, well, whatever lack of wholeness that exists in a human being, whatever it is, whatever mental torment, whatever anguish, whatever there's so many words going through my head right now. I'm trying to pick one that's somewhat kind. Whatever insanity they're comfortable with, they just believe that that's just the way it is. It's not necessary to change. I'm not wrong for feeling this way. You're wrong for thinking I'm wrong. And it doesn't matter what it is. Things that used to be socially unacceptable are shoved down people's throats nowadays. And if you're uncomfortable with that, you're the one with the problem. James tells us if we will lay aside all moral filth, if we will lay aside the superabundance of depravity, and we will receive with humility the implanted word, it will sozo our souls. It will bring wholeness to us. James is telling us if we are going to be whole in our souls, we're going to have to be word people. Salvation is a free gift. I will never argue that. I believe salvation is a free gift. But there is a huge difference between forgiveness of sin and wholeness of soul. I know a lot of Christians that are tormented with a lot of stuff. I don't know very many that are whole. But wholeness is available. And if you're going to be whole, you're going to have to be a word person. In 1 Peter chapter 2, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I'm telling you, there is nothing that will change your life more on planet Earth than the Word of God. When we are willing to put some effort into it, and I know people, they say it all the time, I read it and I don't understand it. I do not read in the Scripture where it says it is necessary for you to understand everything you read in order for God to transform you by it. When you understand what you understand, then you obey what you understand until more understanding comes, and God will transform you every step of the way. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the Word works. And we have just the most simple Bible reading program. It's 7 chapters a day. It probably won't take you 15 minutes to read it. And if you're in the middle of doing something else in the Bible, take that extra 15 minutes, read those 7 chapters a day, and just watch what God does. It would just be amazing if we'd say, you know what? That's what the Lord's been saying for a long time. I'm just going to do it. I don't care if I understand it. I don't care if I get anything out of it. I'm just doing this in obedience to you, God. I'm going to put some effort into this thing because you told me by that preacher there in Barnsdall that gets really loud and seems like he's mad at a lot of people. But I'm not mad at any people. But I am furious at the devil. He has deceived and tormented the people of God, led them astray, led them to sleep, led them to slothfulness and laziness and busyness. He's got the people of God so distracted and so running helter-skelter, they don't even know. They don't even take time for God anymore. I'm just too busy for God. And you're too busy. He should be the first person we talk to in the morning, and the last person we talk to when we go to bed. Because if he don't wake you up, you ain't waking up. If we are to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus, if we are going to apprehend wholeness in our souls, if we're going to rid ourselves of anxiety, I am so weary of people believing that anxiety is it's just my lot. That's just what I have to deal with. That torment's just part of it. That depression, I mean, it runs in my family. Why don't you run it out your family? If we're going to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus, we're going to have to develop an appetite for the things of God. How many understand what it means to crave something? Any women in here that had babies? Pregnant women often have strange cravings, right? One of our friends craved dirt. Dirt. And so they go to the doctor and they say, "Doc, she's eating bowls of dirt." Doctor said, "It won't hurt her. She's obviously craving some minerals that's in dirt. So what do I do, Doc? She's pregnant. Go get her a bowl of dirt. Drug addicts, of which I was one, crave their next high. When we eat some amazing food, maybe we crave it. Maybe our mother cooked something when we were young, and there are times we just want to taste that goodness again. We need to develop a daily craving for the things of God, especially the Word of God. James said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." How profound is that? It's not good enough to simply read the word. We must obey the word. disobedience creates delusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says in verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. I'm telling you, this is transformational. We need to receive the love of the truth. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And we can think this is only applying to those at the end of the age, but the principle holds true today just as it does at the end of the age. If we refuse to receive a love for the truth, it opens us up to delusion. It opens us up to deception. James said, if you're just a hearer, you're deceiving yourself. And I know we do what we often do, and we say within ourselves, when there's a message like this, a sermon like this, we say, I wish so-and-so was here. He really needs to hear this. I wish my husband would have come this morning. I wish my kids were here. My goodness, my wife needs to hear this. I can't wait to get home to put this on YouTube, on TV, and let it play for the people of my house so they can hear this. And maybe it is for the folks of your house. But right now you're in his house. And my dear friend, he's talking to us. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. I have struggled with this to understand what the Lord's talking about. But he made it so clear. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one shall be blessed in what he does. Did you hear what James wrote? James is telling us if we're a hearer and not a doer, we're like a man that we look at ourselves in the mirror and when we walk away, we forget what we saw. What does that mean? James is telling us if we only hear the word and we don't obey the word, then when God reveals something to us, he's not going to have you understand all 7 chapters. You can't take it. He's probably going to show you one thing. And he's going to say, here's what we're dealing with today. Whatever it is. Because there's all kinds of people in the body. I've been doing this 1996. I'm working on 28 years doing this. You see some stuff in 28 years. It's like the old preacher said, he'd been preaching 30 years. He said, if I just learn one thing a year, I know 30 things. If I just learn one thing a year, I know 28 things. And if there's one thing that I know, it's people of God don't excel in the Word of God. We might excel in areas of the Word, but there's areas we just have weakness and we just refuse to obey. We use excuses. I can't. My 3rd grade teacher told me can't never did anything. Now that is not good English. And she was an English teacher. But it's a good point. If the Bible tells you you can, and you say you can't, who is lying? You can, you just won't. Well, I just can't see a way to do it. That's what the Lord tells us. Live by seeing a way to do it. That's exactly what he says, isn't it? I knew that was in there somewhere. It is right next to the Lord works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. They are side by side in a book somewhere. It's just not the book. You can, or he wouldn't say to do. And if you see something in the Word, the Bible said it's just like looking into a mirror. God is showing you what is wrong. He's showing you what needs to be corrected. And when you don't do it, when you don't engage, when you don't put any effort into it, when you turn and walk away, you forget about it. James said, if you're a hearer only, you are deluded. And before you know it, we start thinking that we're okay with this and God's okay with this. And all the while, God has set principles in motion. I have given you five. I expect you to turn those five into five so I get 10. And if you don't, I gave you two and I expect you to turn those two into two. And if you don't, I gave you one, and I expect you to turn that one into one more. And if you don't, even what you have will be taken away. God's not being mean. He's not being ugly. He's just looking for cooperation. We are to give ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, when we consider everything that He has done. This is our reasonable service. And the way we do this is through the Word. They receive not the love of God. And what did Paul say? They did not receive the love of the truth that they, and that word might is not in there. If you receive the love of the truth, you will be sozo. That's what it says. If you receive the love of the truth, you will be sozo. You will be made whole. If you receive the love of the truth, well, it's just you teach different than what I grew up on. They never told me this in Sunday school. It's because they were following some quarterly by some preacher that had come through the cemetery and the smell of death was all over him. And Jesus said, "My words are not death. They are spirit and they are life. And if you receive them," God said, "I will give you the God kind of, I'll give you the Zoe life." Hallelujah. God is not trying to take things away from you. God is not trying to make your life miserable or boring or whatever you think in your head right now. This is too hard. He's not trying to make it too hard. What you're doing is hard. Anxiety is hard. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The root of the righteous will never be uprooted. When the land vomits out its inhabitants, the righteous will stand. I don't know where I'm preaching today, but I am preaching better than you're listening. Jesus said, if you hear my words and you do them, you'll be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the winds blew and the rains came. The storm beat against that house, and after the storm, that house was still standing. Hallelujah. But if we hear the words of Jesus and we say, I can't, that's too hard. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they did. Are we sure that he doesn't know what they did? Let me just ask you this. Do you know what you did? Because he's willing to forgive you. I got to shut up because this is getting harder and harder. I noticed a lot of opposition when I got here this morning. And I was appreciative of Kathy defining some of it. I came here with this final thought. It's just now. What time is it? It's not even 12 o'clock. I ain't preached 3 hours. Where's Jason at? Where'd you go, Jason? Let me just ask you, do you want to be whole? Would you, if the Lord was offering, would you receive the love of the truth this morning? If it's God's will, would you receive a genuine hunger for God's word? Wouldn't it be a blessing to have your appetites changed? I can't even begin to explain what God is doing in this new year. Things that you could not do, the Lord says, now you can. Things you've not been able to undo, the Lord says, now you can. Things that you've been unable to change, the Lord says, now you can. We are in a season that the Lord is changing things. It is unlike anything. In the last 30 days, I've experienced things that I've never experienced in my life. There's reward for faithfulness. I have not been perfect over the last 27 plus years. I'm not perfect in any way. But I have been faithful to not quit because Kathy wouldn't let me. I wanted to plenty of times. But she just kept after me and kept after me and wouldn't let me quit. And so I get it. If you're trying to do this without somebody helping you, I get it. That is way harder than it is for me. That's what I said. Some of you are more skilled than I am. You wouldn't be alone if you didn't have skill to do it. Just because God dealt you some different things doesn't mean that you're not going to be held accountable to these things to step into His glory. The Lord's going to change appetites this morning. The Lord's going to give you a hunger for the Word. And my question to you this morning is, who here would be willing to confess? And you don't have to stand up and tell the church this. But who would be willing to confess before the Lord that they have some appetites that need changed? And they need some hunger for the Word of God. Joyce Meyer received two letters one time. And one of the letters said, God has used you to transform my life. Your teachings have changed everything. And she received another letter and she said, I've been listening to your teachings for 10 years and nothing has changed. And it just, by the way God does things, she met both of these ladies at a conference. And she was talking to them. They were friends. And she was talking to them. And the one is like, God has used you to change my life. and God hasn't done anything through you. And so Joyce looked to the one who said, God hasn't done anything through you. And she said, well, what do you do with the teaching? She said, I listen to it. And she said, yeah, but what do you do with it? Well, she says, nothing. I just listen to it. And Joyce said, what do you do with the teaching? She says, I listen to what the Lord says for you, and then I do what the Lord says for you to do through you. And this woman had her life transformed in 10 years, and this woman experienced no change. And if you will confess to the Lord this morning, God, I have some unhealthy appetites. I've been unwilling to obey what your word says. But God, from this day forward, you said it. You said it through that preacher. You said, I'm going to be able to do what I've not been able to do. God, I'm getting can't out of my vocabulary. If you say I can do it, God, I can do it. Because your word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm telling you, if it's God's will, he will help you do it. And just because you falter one day doesn't mean it's all over. Just get up, dust yourself off, and say, I ain't going there again. And if you go there again, just get up, dust yourself off, and say, I ain't going there again. You keep dusting yourself off, and one of these days you'll wake up and you'll go, I can't believe I haven't done that in 30 days. As the music begins to play, if you're ready for God to change your appetites, just come and find you a place at this altar and say, God, give me a hunger for your word. Give me a desire for your word, God, not just to hear your word, but give me a desire to obey your word, to do what your word says, God. Here I am, Lord. I need my appetites changed. I know, God, there's people that I know that I wish they'd have been here to hear this, but they're not here and I'm here, so you must think I need to hear it, God. Come. Come. If you're dealing with anxiety, come. If depression keeps knocking on your door and you keep answering it, come. If you're not whole, if you've not experienced sozo, God, give me an appetite for your word. God, give me an appetite to obey what you say. Jesus! Come on, turn that music up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Turn it up.
So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.